You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On MLB, your daily podcast with news, analysis, opinions, and interviews across baseball to keep you informed on a daily basis. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network with local experts covering teams in every major market across the NBA and the NFL, and we've got a growing team here in Major League Baseball. I am currently watching the San Francisco Giants, and it doesn't look very good for them after this weekend, although it is kind of weird seeing Andrew McCutchen in a Giants uniform after watching him with the Pirates all this time. But anyway, we're going to get into the Giants' mess of a weekend and what it means for the rest of their season. We're going to get into the extensions that happened over the weekend and today with Ketel Marte, with Scott Kingery, what that means for baseball. Is it good, bad, does it matter? And then I want to get into a little bit on Greg Bird and the New York Yankees. Greg Bird injuring his foot again, out, I believe, 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, we've got Locked On Yankees. You can get a lot of insight there, but I'm going to give you my thoughts, and they kind of echo what I said about the Dodgers and maybe where the Dodgers missed out on an opportunity in the offseason. So, with that being said, I am your host, Tommy Stokey. You can find my writing at LockedOnMLB.com. You can hear me on this podcast. We are on iTunes. We are on Google Play. We'll be on more, and I will keep you posted on all of those. I'm a BBWAA member in Arizona. I cover Major League Baseball. I cover the Arizona Diamondbacks. So check me out there, and check out all that we're doing here at the Locked On MLB Network. So let's start with the Giants. The great thing about baseball that is one of the things that I love and loved as a fan, is that you always have a chance on opening day. You always go into the season and you're like, you know what, if this goes right and if that goes right and maybe we get a little more out of this guy and then this guy does this and that guy stays healthy, we have a chance at 85 games. And if we win 85 games, we could be in the wild card hunt. And if we are just in the hunt in July, then maybe we make a trade and we're good going into that playoff chase. I don't know that the San Francisco Giants have a chance now after what happened this weekend. They lose Madison Bumgarner, a broken hand, out for, I think, 2 months. They lose Jeff Samardzija, out for a month with an injury. And without those two in what was already a thin team in terms of depth and a thin rotation, I don't know that they can survive those 2 months. And the Giants were a team that I was believing in. They were a team that I said, you know what, last year I picked them to go to the playoffs and thought that they'd be really good. There's no way that they can be that bad again. You bring in Andrew McCutchen, and maybe he's not the player that he once was. He's still good. They bring in Evan Longoria. Maybe he's not the player that he once was. He's still good. And both of those guys are better than whatever the Giants tried to do in the outfield and third base last year. So it can't be worse than that. The contracts aren't great. In, you know, Longoria's case, do I want to be paying him what he's making for the next 4 or 5 years? Not really. But the Giants had to go for it because of where their core is at. They had to give it one more shot. And I guess they didn't. They could have blown it up and said, okay, screw this, we're going to lose. But they had reason to believe that, you know what, maybe we can make this work. And so it's credit to them for trying. I don't know how it's going to work now. Ty Block is your opening day starter. That is not an insult to Ty Block, who can have a very good career. Ty Block isn't who you want your opening day starter to be in 2018. If you're the San Francisco Giants and you have Johnny Cueto, Madison Bumgarner, and Jeff Samardzija, or you're supposed to have them. Now, Jarrett Parker, an outfielder, is designated for assignment so they can make room for Derek Holland, who is going to open the season in the rotation. They couldn't even go sign like Bartolo Colon or any of these other guys that are getting released or don't have a spot because they can't spend any money because they're too close to the luxury tax. They can spend money, but their whole entire goal has been to stay below that tax number. And so they are extremely limited in any sort of move that they may want to make. So when you are playing in a division with the Dodgers, and you're playing with the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, they were a team that needed everything to go right, and so far, needless to say, it is not going right. Now, what happens down the road in June or July. Too early to speculate on that. It probably depends on how bad they look and what the reason is for some of that. If Andrew McCutchen isn't any good, I don't know that you can flip him for anything. If Hunter Pence isn't any good, he probably has no value. I don't know that he's going to have value anyway. You have to make a decision on Buster Posey. Is that a player that we would ever consider moving? You have to make a decision on Madison Bumgarner. Is this a player that we ever consider moving? Samardzija could have some interest, but you probably have to pay some of the contract down. So I know that we're getting way ahead here, but I think that the Giants were in a situation where April, May, June, there's your 3 months to go for it. And if it doesn't work, we seriously need to reevaluate how this thing is going to look. Maybe they don't want to do that because they have plans to spend a ton of money next year for a guy like Bryce Harper or somebody like that, I guess. If they want to dream on something like that, they have no farm system, they have little depth, and they have a ton of money tied up for a lot of years. When you have Cueto, Samardzija, Posey, you have Longoria now, you have Brandon Crawford, you have Brandon Belt, so Mark Melancon. I mean, this isn't a young team, obviously. This isn't a, there's no farm system coming to save them. So it'll be interesting. It kind of reminds me a little bit, but not exactly, because the Diamondbacks have what they can consider a young core, and they have some key pieces that could be there for a while. But I think you looked at last year, the Diamondbacks going into that season, where Mike Hazen, in his first year as general manager, said, we want to give this team a shot. If that team played poorly, then maybe they would have reevaluated guys like Paul Goldschmidt or A.J. Pollock or Zach Greinke, or any of those, and said, we need to start over. So that's going to be the big question for the Giants. Do they start over, or do they keep running this out there because they're a proud franchise and they don't want to get rid of Buster Posey or Madison Bumgarner and they want to keep rolling it out there? We will see. Little business here. If you are interested in advertising on Locked On MLB and reaching baseball fans, reaching podcast fans, reaching anybody who might be listening to this podcast, contact me at Stokke, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. We have reasonable rates. We've got local markets. We're entering more local markets as we speak, looking to add. Right now we've got the Angels, the Reds, the Cubs, the Pirates, Yankees, Orioles, and Twins. You can contact me if you are interested in any of those or our national show right here. Once again, Stokke, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. All right, a couple guys that have some money to spend now or will have some money to spend now. After signing slash agreeing to whatever extensions, Kingery's is official. I believe Ketel Marte is not official yet, but that's been reported. Robert Murray was first. And everybody else is confirmed. Both are guaranteed $24 million. Kingery gets the John Singleton treatment and will make the team after signing his deal. I do think that it was kind of a little more than coincidence that it leaked out earlier in the day over the weekend that, hey, Scott Kingery is going to make the opening day roster. That's kind of a surprise. But Gabe Kapler's really been pushing him to make this team. Oh, and then like 20 minutes later, it's announced that he has an extension. So, of course, Scott Kingery is going to make the team because they just signed him and locked him up, so they don't have to play the service time game with him, and they can bring him up right away. The service time thing we talked about last week, it's a, we all know what the answer should be or where it should head, where if these are the best guys and the playing time is available, then we should see them in the major leagues. If Scott Kingery was going to sit the bench, then I can understand why it would make sense to send him to the minor leagues. But at the same time, you're not going to give a guy that guaranteed money and keep him there. There's no reason. So, like the Astros did with John Singleton, they gave Singleton $10 million, guaranteed him, and then called him up as soon as he signed it. They offered others that same deal who didn't take it. Kingery takes it. He gets to make the opening day roster. We will see how he is used. Hit 304, 359 last year in the minors. Kingery did 26 home runs. He's kind of they've been treating him as a utility player who can play all over, mostly to get him up there and see how he can impact the team. It also helps the Phillies because they are a sneaky wild card candidate, or think that they want to be, or some people think that they're going to be. So they're kind of a trendy pick, and when things become trendy, I kind of think the opposite. So if everybody thinks the Phillies are a trendy wild card pick, then maybe I think that most people are usually wrong, so they're not going to be, but good for them for trying. Marte, 265, 319 over parts of three seasons in the majors, 265 average, 319 on base. He was worth, you know, a little over one above replacement last year in 73 games with the Diamondbacks. Once he came up after injuries to Chris Owings, to Nick Ahmed, opened up that spot in the infield for him. It looks like he'll be the everyday second baseman, especially now. For Arizona, hit 260 with a 345 on base last year. He came over with Taiwan Walker in the deal that sent Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger to Seattle. From a player standpoint, I said this with Eugenio Suarez, and I will say this with every player, I will never tell a player he's wrong for taking guaranteed money. That's $24 million that player was not guaranteed before, whether it would be to performance, whether it be injury, whatever. It might be less than he could have made, but it's also more than he could have made, and it's more of a guarantee than he had before he signed it. I don't know that it's the best system. I don't know that this is what we want in Major League Baseball. I think we want our young players to have the confidence that when they get to free agency, they can get paid. And these are different because the CBA is going to be reworked in 2020. I think if you're going to be a free agent before then, maybe you want to look to rework your deal. If not after, I think you have to have some confidence in your players' association to actually get something done and to have something done about this free agent problem and the service time issues that are going on. But overall, I can't say that they're wrong for taking it. They are now set for life. Look at John Singleton. He was ridiculed for taking $10 million, and he probably wouldn't have gotten that the way that he's played since. So good for those guys to get paid. Good for the teams, I guess, because those are cheap deals, and they're probably going to work out for them. The thing is, every single team would do these kind of deals with just about every player on their roster. So if these players want these deals and want guaranteed money, I'm sure teams are going to line up and say, yeah, let's do it, because there is very little risk in the grand scheme of things. You know, $24 million over 5 or 6 years is really nothing when you're paying it out, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, I think, for Marte. I saw Zach Buchanan with that breakdown. Every team would do this. That doesn't necessarily mean it's bad for players, but again, we need to see something happen in 2020. My advice, which they should not be taking my advice because that's what their agents are for. My advice, if you're a free agent for 2020, I would look at an extension. If not, I think you have to show some confidence in your players association, but I don't have $24 million sitting in front of me looking for my signature, so tough for me to say. Let's go to Greg Bird, final segment of today. Greg Bird, another foot injury, ankle injury, 6 to 8 weeks. Here's where the Yankees were smart. They signed Neil Walker, what looked like an insurance plan, 1 year, $5 million that nobody else did. Looks smart now because originally he was going to play some second base, could play some first base, but counting on Greg Bird to stay healthy doesn't seem like a wise choice right now, especially for a team like the Yankees who want to win right now. So you can now slide in Neil Walker as your everyday guy and know that he's going to do a very good job. You can still play him at second. The Yankees are going to call up Tyler Austin, or he's going to make the opening day roster. So he's going to get some at-bats there, another young guy that they look to count on. But they could have sat around and done nothing. That's kind of what the Dodgers did, where the Dodgers, you know, now that Justin Turner's out and you have to slide Forsyth over to third base and maybe Kike Hernandez is going to play second base with Chase Utley, I don't know that you're quite as confident in that infield, and everybody's kind of one injury away. So the Walker move pays off big time for the Yankees, it seems. and other teams are going to get that one injury and maybe kick themselves for not being more aggressive for Neil Walker or for some of these guys that were free agents for a long time this offseason. Everybody, all the Yankee fans that I follow and that the accounts follow kept saying, man, Greg Bird is the next Nick Johnson. Nick Johnson was so talented, and he just couldn't stay healthy. So I had to look up Nick Johnson's numbers because the Nick Johnson that I remember was, yeah, he was fine, but I guess, you know, in 2001, I was 11 years old when he was making his debut, so my baseball knowledge and how much I followed prospects in the New York Yankees, admittedly, was rather low. But Nick Johnson, first of all, an on-base machine, career 399, but look at his last year before being traded to Montreal for Javier Vasquez. Played in 96 games, 324 at-bats, a 422 on base, 284 batting average, 14 home runs. So power number's not super great, but 422 on base, I was like, geez, I guess I didn't realize how good Nick Johnson was. And then he's one of the key pieces to go get Javier Vasquez before Johnson moved on to the Nationals. Well, first the Expos, but then the Nationals, and came back to the Yankees, played for Baltimore, played for the Marlins. But, yeah, so here's your refresher that Nick Johnson was actually pretty good. I think maybe he'd be – I think it'd be interesting to see how he'd be valued now because, again, corner infield at first base, not a big power guy, has good on-base numbers, which people like, but – 15 home runs in 2002, 14 home runs in 2003. Who knows how that would have translated to today. But that's your big comparison. You can head over to Locked On Yankees for more on Greg Bird. They're the experts on New York, led by Jesse Spector. He's got a good staff growing over there, a great staff. They've done some really good stuff already, and they're relatively new. We've just brought him on in the last week or two. So check out Locked On Yankees for more on Greg Bird and what's going on over there. So obviously opening day is this week on Thursday. A couple things that I want to do before then, kind of a preview here for shows coming up. I want to talk to some fantasy baseball guys. I had my fantasy baseball draft, and what my favorite thing to do usually is talk to fantasy baseball experts. Back when I was managing and handing out story assignments, I would usually tell people, my fantasy guys, I would be like, hey, let's have you write about one of my personal questions so you can help out my fantasy team. So I plan on talking to a lot of fantasy guys on this show and asking them my personal questions for advice because that benefits me and hopefully helps me win all my leagues. But also, you guys will be able to pitch in and ask your questions, and hopefully my questions can help you as well. So this isn't just going to help me, although I'm going to appreciate the help. Let's get you guys some help too. So I'm going to have some fantasy guys on. Let's talk about opening day. Let's talk about, you know, what to expect early, how to respond to early slumps or early surges. Let's talk daily fantasy. I can't play daily fantasy here in the state of Arizona, but everywhere else pretty much you guys can play. So I want to talk some daily fantasy guys. One of my favorite things to do before the season, I did it with John Heyman last year. Don't know who I'm going to do it with yet, but I want to get somebody on here, and I want to go over projected totals, wins and losses, over-unders, who's a good over-bet, who's a good under-bet. One of my favorite things to look at, so I definitely want to look at that before opening day. And then another thing I want to look at, maybe not till next week, is MLB The Show. I don't have 18 yet. I will maybe get 18. They took out online franchise, and that's one of my favorite things to play. But I know that I love talking MLB The Show. I know that a lot of guys or a lot of people are interested in MLB The Show and complaining about the servers and all that. So let's get some reviews on MLB The Show and see if I can get a guest on to talk about that. So I want to get more guests on here as I learn how to do this and we get comfortable here. But I appreciate you guys tuning in so far. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at StokeyTommy. You can check us out at LockedOnMLB.com. We have our individual markets. Once again, that list is we have the Angels, the Reds, the Cubs, the Pirates, the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Twins. We are adding more. I hope to have two or three more this week and then keep adding. So if you guys are interested, Stokey, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. If you know somebody interested, tell them to give me a shout. We're definitely looking to add. We're looking to add all kinds of backgrounds, whether you're experienced, whether you're not experienced, whether you're interested in writing or just podcasting. I think we've got a fit for all sorts of experience levels, all sorts of backgrounds, so give me a shout there. Find us on iTunes, find us on Google Play, and check us out tomorrow. Thanks for listening.